Fatima, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us here
Thanks
on the
Daily.
So you've written in a recent editorial that those who support the likes of Pauline Hanson, and I imagine many of those who support Donald Trump in the US, they've got to get with the times. What did you mean by that?
I suppose I'm basically referring to reality. Some of the rhetoric that is being peddled by the likes of Hanson and Trump, and to some degree the people who ran the Brexit campaign, they're a bit out of touch with reality. It's a highly mobile world. We have some alliances and trade agreements in place. It's just, I think some of these people are really still in denial about the change that has happened over the past, 10, 20 years, which has been facilitated by technology and just higher mobility. People are, much more mobile than they ever used to be. And, we're far more exposed to events on the other side of the world than we probably used to be.
What about the argument that these angry voters are simply fed up with the political class as it currently stands and are simply voting for the loudest outsiders?
I suppose there are a couple things that we almost need to talk about separately. There is a case to be made about the fact that the benefits of globalization haven't spread as far as we'd like or as deep as we'd like. There are jobs that are probably going to become obsolete, all that sort of stuff. So, we can talk about the sort of political problems that we have in making sure that our economies are equitable, that social justice, permeates our policies. But I think there's another layer that is making parties like One Nation attractive. And that's, there's a certain section of society that tends to blame, immigrants mostly for the changes that they see in the socioeconomic order. So when we talk about anti-establishment feeling, a lot of that is from the conviction that governments have allowed these non-white people to come in and change all this stuff, these things that people are used to having, the privileges that they're probably used to having. So, for example, Trump's, main slogan is make America great again. But, we have to stop and wonder, well, who was America ever great for? Mostly, white male educated class. So minorities don't get to be part of that conversation. When in fact, 20, 30 years ago, America wasn't that great for women or black men. And they still aren't, in many places.
Some have said that by labelling people who agree with Donald Trump or with Pauline Hanson or with Sonia Kruger, labelling them as racist, the conversation gets shut down and we don't engage with that argument, with the argument that, hey, this is a result of globalisation, hey, this is a result of just certain economic trends and not the result of immigration, of this particular, racial or religious caste. So by shutting down these conversations and not engaging with these genuine debates, do you think that perhaps that is putting the onus on these voters, the people that are voting in these ways, that are arguing in these ways, to get with the times? What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's the prerogative of people who tend to be the target of those debates to refuse to accept the terms. When a person on television says that, we should reconsider Muslim immigration or things like that, Muslim Australians don't have to accept the terms of that conversation because the premise is false to begin with. So it's not non-white Australians who are sort of basically taking this conversation down places that aren't, fruitful. It's people who have actually benefited from the system, at least culturally, there's still the premium being put on the experiences of people who get to talk on television.
Is there perhaps a frustration that it's not the job of the Muslim community, it's not the job of the immigrant community, it's not their job to educate those angry masses who want them out?
Exactly. Well put. And, you know, and I think that they're pretty tired. They're pretty tired of having to justify their presence here. They're pretty tired of basically being trotted out to explain all over again why, you know, they're not terrorists. They're not here to wreck Australia. They're not, you know, like, if you look at just how many people have latched on to the whole Sharia thing, you know, the creeping Sharia sort of talk. It's like it's really, I suppose we are at an age as well, you know, and I think Catherine Viner wrote about this in The Guardian, and a few other people have written about this as well, that we may be at a time of post-factualism, where it's really hard to reason with people based on facts and evidence and context and history. So it makes for an interesting time. Like, how do you have a, you know, reasonable discourse? Because we're all in it together. We all, you know, we all need to work out a way to live together. You know, but that's not the conversation we're having. The conversation that Muslim Australians keep being dragged into is, you know, has to do with whether they're authentically Australian or whether they, you know, or their motives are brought into question.
Just to perhaps a final point on Donald Trump, U.S. presidential hopeful Donald Trump himself. These comments, they've caused quite a lot of backlash for him. So far, this guy has basically been Teflon. Everything he said just bounced off. But it seems like in this case, he's almost gone too far. Is it perhaps that a human face has been put on this issue with the Khan family over in the United States? We have this human face of a family who lost a son that was fighting for his country. And finally, we can see, or at least a lot of the voters can see, that these are not... these are not demons. These are not others. These are not people from a faraway land who have their own sort of things. This is a real, genuine family who had this horrible experience. Is it putting that genuine human face on the issue? What has perhaps made the backlash of these comments for Donald Trump so severe?
That's absolutely right. And it has to do with having a name and a face to it. But also, the Khans in particular, I mean, because there have been any number of individuals who have stepped up, but the Khans in particular have disrupted the idea that patriotism and sacrifice are the exclusive domains of a certain type of American. Mm. So I think that's been really interesting, and I think it's blindsided the Trump campaign. The other thing, too, is that the United States holds up its soldiers. Like, it almost, like, deifies them. The country's seat in mythologies around heroism. So military families are one of the few things that Democrats and Republicans don't actually tend to bicker over. So Trump hasn't been in, you know, Trump hasn't made a dent, really, because you've got people across the political spectrum who have gone, no, that's a bit too far, like, you're out of line.
Fatima, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time on this morning's program and unpacking that one for us a little bit.
No worries at all. Thanks for having me, Sean. Cheers.